Jesus, help us. Amen. All right. And he will, and always does. I'm really excited to be sharing with you all this morning. It's just always a pleasure to be with you, always a pleasure to get to share with you. We just finished a little mini-series where we were talking about being the church, and we talked about some different images of the church. We talked about the image of the bride, the image of the body, and the image of family, and what it means to be the church in those ways. We are launching into a new series at the start of our term. We are talking about enjoy being overflow. So we talked about what does it mean to be the church. Now we want to talk about what does it mean to be overflow? What does it mean to be this church specifically? And part of the reason why we're doing that is we have been really blessed to have so many new people coming in over the last few years. And it is such a blessing because it just adds momentum. It adds strength and energy, and it's just beautiful. And we also have the beauty of having people who've been here for a long time, who've like built part of the culture, who built into the DNA, who have just been like pillars of this church and have been part of building it. And we want everyone to enjoy being overflow and to enjoy a sense of belonging. And we talked about this last time I spoke, but part of belonging is actually knowing and choosing that you belong. Part of belonging is actually knowing that you belong. And something that helps us know that we belong is knowing what it is we belong to. So that's why we are talking about some of the things that make up Overflow, some of the things that are important to us about who we are as Overflow Church. We're going to be talking about some different, what we're calling distinctives of Overflow. And we're not talking about these because we think that the distinctives of Overflow are better than the distinctives of any other church. We're not talking about this from a place of comparison. We love other churches. We love the bride. But these are the expression of what we as Overflow are called to be. These are the expression of who the Lord has made Overflow to be. So I'm going to give you, we're going to have a little discussion. We love doing discussions during sermons because it gives you an opportunity to connect with the people around you, to share your insights, your thoughts. But I will give you the invitation that if this is uncomfortable for you, you're totally welcome to just think about your answer. But it is a great opportunity to connect and to share the wisdom that you have, share who you are. So it's a pretty simple question that we're starting with. What is something positive you've experienced about Overflow that is unusual or unique? So I'm just going to get you to jump into groups of two or four. What's something positive you've experienced about Overflow that's unusual or unique? And maybe this is your first day here. In that case, welcome. If you got here at the start, you probably already experienced something unusual because we danced, if you missed that. So what's something positive you've experienced about Overflow that's unusual or unique? Just jump into a group of two or four of the people around you, and I'm just going to give you like 2 minutes. Seemed like there was some good conversations happening. You'll have more opportunity for conversation after the service. But I would just love to have a few people just shout out what you heard in your group, like maybe just in one word, what was something that you've experienced about Overflow that is unusual or unique? Sam Hayes. Both unusual and unique. Yeah. And Sam Hayes is also one of the people that have been here for ages and have built into the community and made us part of who we are. Yes. Yep. Love that. Having a fire tunnel. Yep. So our value for impartation, our value for stepping into giftings, those are the things I'm hearing so far. Come as you are. You can have coffee down your shirt. Or baby Chino, as it was. Any other ones? Yeah. The approachability of the leaders. It helps when the leaders have coffee down their front. Makes them approachable. Sorry? Pioneer. Yeah, there's this pioneering thing about overflow. Freedom in the spirit. Love it. So, yep. Yeah, yes. Di was talking about how when we did the visioning process, we invited everyone to be part of it. We have a belief that every voice matters and we want them all at the table. So these are the ones we're going to be talking about this term. And these are not the only distinctives, like you guys have just mentioned some, but these are the ones that we feel like to highlight during this term. So we're going to be talking about being transforming this morning. We're going to talk about being kingdom focused, being graceful or grace filled, being obedient risk takers, being supernatural, being empowering, being worshipers, and being family. So it's very exciting where we are heading. So this morning we're going to talk a bit about being transforming. I have been here, we think since like 2003 was when we started attending this church. And I came onto leadership role, Chris was on long service leave. Wayne Mordew snuck me in the door. She was out. She came back to me on the team already. But I got to serve Chris for a long time. And you may be shocked to know this. We would occasionally disagree. And even more occasionally, I was probably right. But very occasionally, most of the time, I was not. Because I was an immature young kid who was learning things. Now I'm an immature young man learning things. But Chris and I would occasionally disagree, but I found that Chris was an incredibly safe leader. I found that she was an incredibly safe leader that I was really happy to serve. And part of what made her safe was that Chris had and has this value for growth and transformation, where she was always growing. Chris McCrae was never staying the same. She was always growing. So you knew that even if you disagreed with her, and for some slight chance you were right, she was always growing. So she'd be growing into that revelation. She'd be growing into that thing. She was always growing, and it made her an incredibly safe leader to follow. And the same is true about Brad. That is part of what makes Brad a really safe, fantastic leader, is he has this value for growth where he is always growing. He's always being transformed. So transforming life through Jesus is actually our church mission statement. So on the wall, you can see our vision statement at the moment, to be a family of wholehearted people becoming unmistakably like Jesus, going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day wherever we are. Look, I read it. That wasn't... Thank you, but that wasn't off the top of my dome. I read that. But that's our vision statement. The reason that we're doing that is because we want to see life transformed through Jesus. Like, transforming life through Jesus is the reason behind what we're doing. This is the way we're expressing it in this season. And there's a lot in that mission statement that we could unpack. Why is it life rather than lives that we're wanting to see transformed? What does it mean to partner with Jesus? But that's not this sermon. So instead, we're going to talk about what does it mean for us to be being transforming? Why is this a value in our environment and how can we lean into that? The journey of following Jesus is one of transformation. We are transformed by the work of the cross. We are transformed from sinner to saint at the cross. And then we continue to be transformed as our mind is renewed, as the Lord does his work in us. We continue to be transformed. And then from that place, we get to partner with Jesus in bringing transformation into the world, in bringing heaven to earth. So as we give our yes to Jesus, we're transformed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We become new at the work of the cross. We are transformed at the work of the cross. And then the journey of transformation continues. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're transformed at the cross, and then we continue to be transformed. We go from glory to glory. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That transformed there could be transfigured, like Jesus was transfigured on the Mount. Be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. From that place, we're invited to partner with God on the work of transforming life. Matthew 10:7 says, "Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received." This was Jesus's instructions to the disciples. And we've freely received. We've freely been transformed, and we get to freely give that away. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." We are being transformed, and it's from that place that we partner with the Lord in bringing about transformation. If we're seeking to transform lives, to change the people around us without that ongoing transformation work happening in our lives, it's going to get distorted. It's going to get messy. We're going to burn out because we're not giving out of what he's doing in us. If we're just giving out of what he's done in us rather than the ongoing work that he's doing in us, we're going to burn out. It's going to start being for our identity rather than out of our identity. And it's going to lead to us doing it for our glory rather than the Lord's glory. I love this quote by Chris Vallotton from Bethel. He says, "You were saved when you believed in Jesus, but you were transformed when you realized he believed in you." As we learn our identity, we are transformed. This is a value for my life, this piece of transformation, because I want to be a safe leader. And because I want to be more and more like Jesus. I want to love people like he loves. So it's a value in my life. And something that I really believe is if we're not growing, we're dying. I really believe that if we're not growing, we're dying. And we probably all know people who walked with Jesus and then blew up spectacularly. But we probably all also know people who walked with Jesus and then kind of just petered out, who just weren't growing and kind of grew cold instead of growing. If we're not growing, we're dying. And I really believe that we can have as much transformation as we make room for in our lives. I'm going to say that differently. I believe that we have as much transformation as we make room for in our lives. It's challenging. I said it and I'm challenged by it. So Catherine and I got the privilege of spending the last 3 years leading a supernatural ministry school in this church called School of Revival. We got to partner with some incredible leaders in this community. We got to help partner with the Lord in transforming the lives of some incredible students who are now incredible alumni. And it was a beautiful experience. Before that, Catherine mentioned we were in America for 3 years and then we spent a year setting up. So kind of have spent 7 years in supernatural schools at this point. And the thing about supernatural schools is they are a greenhouse for transformation. It's a structure that is built with transformation in mind. We had the privilege of helping leaders around the world start supernatural schools. And so we got to share about building that structure for transformation, building that structure to promote growth. And there was these four pillars that we always talked about with these leaders, these four pillars of a supernatural school. And I actually felt led to share them with you this morning, which was not where I thought I was going. But I felt like I was meant to share them with you this morning because yes, these are four pillars in a supernatural school, but these are four pillars that we can have established in our life so our lives become a greenhouse for growth and transformation. So these are, four ways we can be being transforming within so that we can be being transforming on the outside. Okay, four pillars. So the four pillars are intentional pastoring, healthy community, life-giving teaching, and a focus on the presence. I want to just quickly explore the four of them. I'm going to move quick, but I want to explore the four of them and what it could look like in your life. So let's start with intentional pastoring. That's a word that is loaded. The word of pastoring, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. That can mean someone who brings you meals. That can mean someone who is up here talking. That can mean someone who is setting up the chairs, running the kids ministry. That can mean someone that visits you in hospital. Pastoring means a lot of different things to different people. What I'm talking about is a leader in your life that creates a place of safety and covering for you. Covering is this spiritual concept that I feel like we don't fully understand. And it's something that I really want to grow to understand. But we grow best from a place of safety. We grow best when we feel safe. When we feel belonging, we're able to grow. That's why kids develop really well in families where they feel like they belong. That's why kids grow quicker in families where they feel that sense of safety and belonging, and why it can be really damaging when a child doesn't feel that sense of safety. It's the same for us in a church. And having a leader pouring into our life that we feel safe with, that we feel completely loved by, and that we have given permission to challenge us, propels us forward in our growth. So that can look like, and I think it's really healthy to look like, a leader in your life who is actively mentoring you. It's not enough to just see someone from afar on a Sunday and be like, that's the person that's challenging me, if they're not actively getting to challenge you. Mentoring is fantastic. Catherine and I, we like to always have someone we're mentoring and someone who's pouring into us, because that keeps us growing and it keeps us safe, having someone who is able to call us on our nonsense. Healthy community. So healthy community propels us forward in connection. Healthy community, again, it creates safety. There's the deep connection. We're able to be vulnerable. We're able to let people into our places of hurt and be healed. Healthy community heals. We're able to be challenged in that place. Healthy community, with all four of these things, Sunday morning is beautiful, but it's actually not enough. The hour and a half that we have here together on a Sunday morning is not enough. And it's not meant to be enough. This isn't meant to be the place that meets all your needs, this Sunday morning service. This is meant to be a place where we come in and we hear what the Lord is doing in our company, and we're equipped to go and do the work. It is meant to be a place of community. It is meant to be a place of teaching, of presence, of pastoring. But it's not actually meant to meet all those needs. It's meant to be more than that. So healthy community, it is meant to happen in here, but it doesn't only happen in here. Many of you probably have noticed that over morning tea roll, you're chasing around a toddler is not the best place for deep conversation. You know what is a great place for deep conversation? Connect groups. And they're starting up soon. And I would really encourage you to get involved in a connect group. If you're not, they are fantastic places to be vulnerable with each other and to grow, to be challenged by each other. The beautiful thing about community is it's hard. It's hard to be in community, which means that we have to push into the Lord and we have to get his heart for people and we have to learn to love like him. That's the beauty of community. Life-giving teaching. So this should obviously definitely look like scripture. That's part of us being equipped with life-giving teaching. But also like learning how to understand scripture. What to do with scripture. Zach loves talking about Bible Project. They are fantastic. They are so good at equipping us to have a love and a relationship with scripture. I've got Ephesians 4, 11 to, I think, 16. I'm going to read to you. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We grow to become in every respect the mature body of him. We grow to be more like him through the equipping that we receive from the fivefold, through the equipping that we receive from teaching. We're transformed to look more like him. So some ways that this can practically look, especially in the busyness of life, is there's so many good podcasts out there nowadays. And if you want some recommendations of some really strong ones, I can definitely give them to you. John Marcoma has fantastic podcasts. I love Chris Vallotton's stuff. You already heard me give a quote from him. Some incredible books. I've just finished reading one called Praying Like a Monk, Living Like a Fool. And I could not tell you who it's by because I've read three books since then. But it's a book about prayer and it will change your life and change your prayer life. And we really feel like there's an emphasis on prayer at the moment. So it's a great one to check out. But teaching can give us a framework for transformation. It can give us a framework to grow and be transformed and fill those gaps. So last one, I'm sorry, I'm moving quickly. Presence. So all four of these pillars are really important for transformation. They're really important for creating a structure, a framework, a greenhouse for transformation in our life. The other three don't matter at all unless you have this one. The other three do not matter at all unless you have this one. Because with the other three and not this one, you're just going to be a well-connected, pompous person. It's in the presence that we encounter the Lord. It's in the presence that we learn his heart. It's in the presence that we learn his heart for each other and we learn humility. It's in his presence that we are transformed. His presence changes everything. And we get to worship here together. It is beautiful getting to minister to the heart of the Father together. It also should not be the only place you're worshiping because it is not enough. Church is not where we come just. Like, if this is the only place you are feeding, you will starve. The beautiful thing about hunger in the kingdom is the more we feast, the more hungry we become. And we need a feast on his presence. We need a feast on his presence by worshiping, by spending time meditating on the word, spending time in prayer. And I mentioned that we feel like there's this real emphasis on prayer for us as a company in where we're going this year. So we're really excited about that. So we're going to land focusing on presence. And I'm just going to hand to Catherine in a moment. One of the things that I love about this company, this community, is like kids get to be part of it. They get to be part of the church. And it's messy, but we actually are okay with mess. We would rather have mess and have everyone be able to belong. So we got one more discussion question for all Catherine and I talk about where we're landing. So here's the question. I just love for you in your groups, if there's one of these four pillars you could either build into your life or strengthen in this season, if it's already there, what would that be? And I'm just going to give you 2 minutes to chat about that. So the four pillars were intentional pastoring or intentional leadership, healthy community, life-giving teaching, and a focus on the present. So if you could build one of those into your life in this coming season or strengthen it if it's already there, what could you be doing to be doing that? And I'll just give you a moment, a couple of minutes to share that in your group.
Thanks for sharing in the groups, and just in a minute, I really want to pray, and we're going to finish with a song, and also if there's anybody who needs prayer or encouragement today, we're going to have some people available either during the closing song or afterwards to come and do that. But again, I just want to just emphasize and just really thank Jim for sharing that framework. And I find that really helpful for me personally, that invitation and challenge to like, it stuff doesn't just happen. We get to partner with God in transformation, in the transformation of our own souls. We have a part to play. It doesn't, when I get struck by lightning, God doesn't force himself on us. He invites us to that commitment. We've spoken about that in the past. And so, you know, just again, we put on events and activities in the church not to keep people busy, but to create opportunities for transformation to happen. And that might happen in a picnic around a conversation and a deepening relationship. It particularly, I find it happens a lot in connect groups. So myself and Laura will be at this little table at the back here. So if you want to join a connect group, come and see us and we'll try and line up one for you. If you want to, if you're a newcomer and you want to get connected in with the church, come and see us and we'll get your details and connect you in that way. But just want to really encourage you with those events and activities that we make available. Don't feel pressure to go to any or all of them. We're not trying to add busyness into your already busy life, but we do want to be faithful to God in creating opportunities for him to work through community, because that's where transformation happens.